Good afternoon. My name is Katie Taylor, and I'm a graduate student at Washington State University. I'm really excited to be here and for the opportunity to share with you all the research I've been doing the last 2 years. I want to thank Washington State University for the opportunity to do this work, as well as the Washington Tree Fruit Commission for funding this project. So, what I've been doing is looking at spray pollination systems in sweet cherry. And we're doing this sometimes to increase fruit set, but more so to decrease the variability in fruit set, so to make fruit set more predictable year to year. Sweet cherry is a $750 to $800 million industry in the U.S., although in 2017 it was $1 billion. And 90% of production is happening in the Pacific Northwest. U.S. is the second producer of sweet cherry in the world, quite a bit behind Turkey, but also quite a bit ahead of number three, Iran. And so here's the problem. All of this fruit set data was collected in 2018 in the same cultivar in Chelan with the same pollinator densities, in the same regional location in the Columbia Basin. And we collected data showing fruit set from 5% to 50%. So that's a ton of variability in the same year with fruit set, and then growers see this year to year as well. And so what's causing this variability in fruit set is in sweet cherry, along with other tree fruits, often a pollinizer is interspersed throughout the orchard block to be a compatible pollen source. And what's happening with climate change is we're seeing more and more erratic spring weather, and that's causing asynchronous bloom between the pollinizer and the rest of the block. I took this picture in 2018 in the Columbia Basin showing a pollinizer approaching full bloom while the rest of the orchard was still in an open cluster to first white. I'm sure you all have heard about pollinator decline. That is, these numbers are from the U.S. Pollinator decline is a problem in the commercial pollinator industry as well as native pollinators worldwide. And so these factors are leading to unpredictable fruit set, and sweet cherry is an ideal crop to look at it for this because it has an early small window for pollination to occur, meaning it's early in the spring and it's short, about 4 to 5 days. And so what we're doing is using an electrostatic sprayer because that positively charges the pollen grain, and that increases deposition of the pollen grain onto a negatively charged flower. We're using pure pollen in this research. There's nothing artificial about the pollen. It's harvested locally and then redistributed to growers for use. Cost comparison is pretty similar between the pollinator model to this spray system. I will say it doesn't include the cost of the sprayer. And so my research is really looking at how much pollen do we need to apply to see a difference in fruit set and in yield, and when do we apply this pollen, at what percent full bloom, and then we looked at one application versus two applications. And so that was one part of my research. The second part of my research took a much closer look at the pollen that we're using because it is kind of the key player. So the objectives of my study, first were to minimize the variation in fruit set by controlling pollination, by reducing those uncontrollable variables being the pollinizer bloom time and the pollinator availability and performance. And in all of my trials, I was doing supplemental pollen application. So this was on top of full stocked pollinator densities. Commercial honeybee hives were in all of my field trials. And then the second, my next objectives were to look at the viability of the pollen in the spray application, and then also looking at the viability of pollen among different sweet cherry cultivars and between growing seasons. So how did I do this? For the variability in pollen among different cultivars, I collected in 2018 flowers from 10 different cultivars, and in 2019 I collected those same 10 cultivars and I added one cultivar to make 11. And these were all collected from the same location. I collected flowers at about the balloon stage or popcorn stage to decrease insect contamination. I plucked off anthers, froze them with a desiccant after they dehisced, and then pulled them out when I was ready to dust for analysis using germination media. I used a 12% sucrose plate and I used a 90 micrometer sieve to filter out anther and filament debris. And then for my electrostatic applications, the middle picture is right here. That's the pure pollen that we used. And then over on your left-hand side, you see the mixture, mixing the pure pollen into a suspension media, pouring it through a filter because pollen likes to clump, and so that helped to disperse the pollen into an agitated tank. And then we sprayed that at different rates onto the canopy. So we looked at everywhere from 15 grams per acre to 60 grams per acre. And I did this in 2018 as well as 2019. And then for collecting viability data during the spray application, this was my last method of collection and my favorite. It was I call it a tree plate, where I put germination plates into the canopy to then look at how much pollen is being deposited into the canopy and how viable is that pollen. So I'm going to show you a quick video of application. And in the video, you can first see I'm taking a sample, I'm collecting it into a beaker, and I'm not showing these results because that proved to be a poor method of sampling viability. And then second, I'm putting the germination plate into the pollen spray cloud and then taking that back into the lab to look at viability of pollen. And how I did that was looking at it and looking for pollen tubes. So on the left, you see a pollen tube. That is viable pollen. On the right is non-viable pollen because there's no tube. So data that I collected for pollen viability was percent viable pollen using germination plates. I looked at viability over time during the spray application, and then I also took notes on pollen characteristics among the different varieties. For my electrostatic spray application, I collected percent fruit set, yield, and fruit quality analyses on all of my treatment blocks. So some of my results. This is the variability and viability among cultivars. These are 2018, and you can see that from the first 9 cultivars, there was no difference in the viability of the cultivars. And then Ulster had significantly lower viability at about 20%. And then if you bring in 2019 data, it all changes. And what we noticed here was Chelan had higher viability in 2019 than 2018, and Santina, Benton, and Van had lower viability in 2019 than 2018. I also noted Ulster had really small grains with short tubes. They were also kind of darker brown than the others. And Chelan pollen was more clumped together. Lapin's pollen, and there was a lot of pollen in Chelan. It readily dehisced and was available. And Lapin's pollen grew these really long, squiggly tubes. And so there were some really interesting things going on among the cultivars. Looking at viability of pollen in the spray application, on the at time zero, which is on the x-axis, you can see the yellow dot, and that is the pollen dust without any liquid mixture in it yet. And that being about 40%, and then we consistently saw this increase at about 20 minutes of pollen viability. And we're hypothesizing that that is due to the pollen needing time to rehydrate so that when it hit the germination plate, it was fully hydrated and ready to sprout a tube. The other interesting thing on this graph is at about 75 minutes, the viability of the pollen started to decrease. And it takes 80 minutes to spray out a 100-gallon tank. And then I want to say, well, before I go into the spray application results, there was not any significant difference in any of my treatments in either year. So I'm going to present some numerical differences because they are starting to tell a story about what's going on in this supplemental pollen application. So this is a Chelan trial, the fruit set, and we did see a slight increase in the pollen-treated blocks over the control, the same in a Benton trial in 2019 as well, specifically in the 40-gram treatment. It was a 13% increase over the control that didn't receive any pollen. And next I'm going to take this same trial, this Benton trial, and show you yield data from this trial. In pounds per acre, we saw an increase in the pollen-treated blocks over the control, specifically in that 40-gram treatment. And what we noticed here as well is the variability was less in the pollen-treated blocks than in the control. And I'll break this down one more step into pounds per tree, and we saw about a 4-pound per tree increase in the 40-gram block over the control. So overall, our conclusions are that sweet cherry pollen is maintaining viability for enough time to spray out a 100-gallon application, and that covers about 6.5 acres. The timing of application matters, both with regard to the climate conditions, so spraying pollen when it's not windy and when there hasn't been a precipitation event or there's not going to be one, as well as spraying at about 75% full bloom or less. The viability of the pollen varies among genotypes and varied between our two growing seasons, and so this is the foundation for starting to look at how pollen viability trends in the cultivars with weather over several years. Overall, supplemental pollen application did not improve the predictability of fruit set, nor did it increase yields. I think this is due to the fact that we were maxed out with pollination at about 4.5 hives per acre. And so the next question to answer with this research is, what does it look like to apply pollen using an electrostatic sprayer in the absence of pollinators? With that, I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you for listening. Or feel free to email me as well regarding this research.
Yes. I have a question. There was some difference in the viability between the 1 year and the other. Did you collect the pollen or you use something that was commercial? So because the time of collecting pollen can be a possible explanation.
No, I collected the pollen. Are you talking about for the among the 10 different cultivars?
Yeah, but the stage of the bloom can be different.
Yes. So the question is, how did I standardize my collection methods between 2018 and 2019 so that I was collecting at the same stage of bloom? I collected all of the flowers for all of the cultivars, and I collected when they were at the balloon stage, so right before they were open. I collected about 50 flowers per cultivar, minimum. Yes?
Is there a commercial vendor, and if so, do they sell by a cultivar mix? Because they have compatibility between cultivars if you end up using commercial pollen. You know, is there someone selling commercial pollen, and do they state what cultivars make that pollen mix up?
Yes, the question is pollen commercially available and compatible for particular crops? And the answer is yes.
What about cherry? Not cherry.
Variety.
Crops, but we're just talking
about meant variety and sweet cherry. Yeah.
Variety.
Sorry. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Why it was so different between the 2 years? Is it because of the type of weather?
For the pollen. It's interesting. I think it's related to weather. I think it's related to temperature, to humidity, and to frost events, things like that. Temperature, both high temperatures and low temperatures. And putting it up against what's going on in the climate conditions is what we're doing with it. And then hopefully we'll have these same 11 cultivars collected next year and the next year, and over time we can start to see trends in that. Thank you.